Joshua chapter 7. Sin separates men and women from God. And if sin is not seriously repented of from godly sorrow and put away, it will bring disaster to the sinner and to those associated with them. As the Israelites discovered through their defeat at Ai, the whole nation suffered because of the sin that was charged to just one man. The lesson for us is that the whole cause of Christ can be injured by the unaddressed sin of one believer. Follow along with me there in Joshua chapter 7 as I review verses 1 through 26 to bring us to our study tonight. There in Joshua chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, Achan disobeyed God's command and took some of the spoils from Jericho, the previous battle, previous chapter, for himself. Israel was totally routed then at their next attempt to capture Ai, the next city on the conquest, because of the Israelites' overconfidence as well as sin in the camp. In great anguish then, Joshua complained to the Lord concerning Israel's defeat. And so the Lord responded to Joshua's concerns, telling him two things regarding their defeat. One, that someone in the camp had both stolen and lied. Second, that the Lord told Joshua to find the sinner and burn him with fire along with his belongings, because the sin must be dealt with. The Lord then gave Joshua specific instructions for determining who the guilty person was. And so the next day, as they gathered the assembly of Israel together, the Lord pointed out the tribe, then the family, and the household, and finally the person who had committed this sin that resulted in their defeat. Achan was found to be the guilty person. So Achan, his family members, and all his possessions were stoned, and then they were burned. There are a few lessons that we can learn about sin by the report of Achan's sin, which is typical of all sin. As Joshua inquired in Joshua chapter 7, in verse number 19, then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give praise to Him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." Give glory to the Lord is a phrase that demands truth, truth before God. We see it again in John chapter 9, in verse number 24. But continuing in Joshua chapter 7, verse 20, "So Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Truly, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it.'" When Achan saw a beautiful robe of Shinar, really Babylonia, Genesis chapter 10, verse 10, and several other passages in Genesis bring this out, he was impressed. The garments of Babylonia, or the Babylonians, were noted in the ancient world for their beautiful and elaborate artistic weaving, and materials. The Israelite warriors at times in their battles had been allowed to take plunder as they were from the Midianites in Numbers chapter 31 verses 11 and 12. Upon that occasion, they received from the spoils of war half of all that was gathered. They were able to keep half of it and give the other half to the people of Israel. They divided out amongst themselves that day some 675,000 sheep, 72,000 cattle, 61,000 donkeys, and 32,000 young girls, according to Numbers 31, verses 31 through 35. So the Israelites were accustomed to going into war and receiving the spoils of war, but then having to divide them out amongst all the people. But when the enemy was placed under a ban, everything that was gained, everything that was kept, belonged to God. Notice Joshua chapter 6, beginning in verse number 16. At the seventh time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city shall be under the ban. It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, so that you do not covet them and take some of the things under the ban, and make the camp of Israel accursed and bring trouble on it. But all the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpets. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. What is devoted to God belongs to God alone. When God placed all of the items, all of the things that would be retrieved from the city of Jericho and kept, and said that those items would be placed into the Lord's treasury, it meant that they belonged solely to Him. But when Achan saw, when he saw with his eyes a beautiful robe, some silver and some gold, he lusted after it. Be careful, little eyes. What you see is not simply just good Sunday school lyrics, but rather principle to be lived by. Achan saw the beauty of things as being more beautiful than the obedience to God. Achan wanted what he saw, that robe, that silver, that gold. So he said, "I coveted it." He coveted them, taking a high degree of pleasure or mental satisfaction in them. Personal happiness and fulfillment should not override every other consideration. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 5 warns us, "For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." Do you remember 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 10? "For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves through with many griefs. Since God has made His will known on a wide array of matters, we ought to fill our minds with godly things rather than allowing our minds to lust after what we see and what we want." Achan coveted what he should not have. Because he coveted it, he took it. Achan took the things his eyes and his mind lusted for. He let his own desires, his own happiness, crowd out obedience to God. But God still wants us to bring glory to Him, to honor His name by setting aside our will and obeying His will, just as our Lord taught us. His purpose or His cause is far greater than us. But when we act of our own will, we disrupt the accomplishing of God's purpose. But our sin may hurt us at times. It may hurt others at times. But definitely, we hurt God when we elevate our will above His will. Doing our will may bring that temporary pleasure, that momentary gratification. But doing God's will bring eternal happiness. What then will we give in exchange for eternal happiness? Achan exchanged a robe, some gold, and some silver for eternal happiness. Achan took what he wanted, though it belonged rightfully to God and to God alone. Knowing what he did was wrong, Achan concealed in the earth that robe, silver, and gold. Hiding evidence of sin indicates knowledge of doing wrong. Hiding or covering up sin or the results of sin ought to be a red flag for every servant of the Lord. And so in a play on words, Achan hid the things that he stole, according to verse 21. But Joshua instructed Achan not to hide anything from him when he confessed his wrongdoing. Verse 19. You see, Achan confessed the stolen items before Joshua, before the Lord, and before all Israel. How embarrassing it must have been to have committed sin, and before all of your nation, you are singled out as a guilty party. Talk about being caught red-handed. Achan concealed or hid what he stole in the earth. When we come to the New Testament, the book of James informs us about sin, that when in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, he wrote, "Each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death." Achan's acts of sin progressed. "I saw, I coveted, I took, and I hid." Going back in your minds to Genesis chapter 3, it sounds an awful lot like what Eve did in committing sin in the garden. For she followed a similar progression. She saw the tree, saw the fruit, she desired the fruit, and she took. The same is true in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 2 through 4, as David commits sin with Bathsheba. He sees, he covets, he takes. And then we know the story of him trying to hide his sin. We often see what sin has to offer, and it looks very appealing to the eyes. We covet then the opportunity to have or to gain. We take hold of something other than God, and then we try to hide the evidence. As we learn about sin, we discover that sin brings more sin. You see, Achan's actions of sinning included several violations. Violation of stealing, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15. The fact that he stole from God doesn't really make matters worse. Oh yes, it seems far worse that one would steal from God, but it'd be just the same as stealing from one of God's people when God says, "Thou shalt not steal." Violations of God's instructions, Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 10 through 20. Violations of lying, Leviticus 19, verse 11. Violations of idolatry, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. And coveting, Exodus 20, verse 17. In all of these stages, in all of these steps, in all of these violations, there was a flag somewhere in his mind, somewhere in his conscience that should have told him to stop. But we, just like him, disregard the warnings, disregard the red flags, and we commit sin. Why did no one step up to help Achan avoid these acts of sin? Most of the people probably did not even know about Achan's sin while he was committing it. We do not know if Achan's household knew of his sin, or whether his family knew anything of it, or the tribe he was a part of, or even any other Israelite. God doesn't tell us. But what we do know is that God held all of Israel accountable. Joshua chapter 7, beginning in verse number 11, he said, "Israel has sinned." Not Achan, the one who sinned and carried it out, but Israel has sinned. And they, all of them, have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. And they have even taken some of the things under the ban and have both stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have become accursed. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. Just as all of Israel was held accountable for the sin, they were also held accountable for removing that sin from them, from among them. When Achan attempted to hide his sin from God, we learned that we cannot hide our sins from God. Just as Achan was discovered and pointed out by God, so we too will find that our sins find us out. Oftentimes with sin come its own consequences. We must denounce then and address sin to prevent the disease of disobedience from spreading. First, in our own lives, we must be very careful to observe the commandment and the law, to love the Lord, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, to hold fast to Him and to serve Him with all our heart and with all our soul. Joshua 22 and verse 5. We must heed the cautions, those checkpoints of sin, so that we stop sin at its earliest point and earliest steps, lest it get the better of us. We fall into sin and then struggle so desperately to get out of it. We must turn over to God what really belongs to God, and this includes us if we have devoted our lives to Him. But then we also must remove and address disobedience amongst the lives of others. We should sound the alarm when we are aware that a brother or sister is living in sin. Joshua addressed Achan tenderly but firmly. Disobeying God's commands is a serious offense. It was an offense in which one man's sin made an entire nation be defeated, some 36 men die, and as a result, the whole nation was responsible for removing that sin. Acts of disobedience are enough to pollute the purity of God's people at a time of great spiritual advance, and so Adam with Eve, Achan, and David with Bathsheba, just as Ananias and Sapphira, were made examples for us to learn from concerning sin, how to address it, how to handle it, and most definitely the ugly nature of what sin does to the sinner and those associated with them. Devoted believers become remorseful when their sin is addressed, so they confess their sin straightforward and completely, allowing along the way, sharing their sorrow for the injustice that has been done toward God and toward others. When we ourselves fall into sin, we must deal with it quickly and completely. Achan's confession identified the sin and how he fell into it. The attractiveness of forbidden thoughts, the appeal of forbidden items, and even the looks and appearance of people can be so easy to cause us to desire and to want. Condemnation came to Achan. Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." Because of Achan's injustice to God, he and his family were stoned and his possessions were burned with them. Joshua chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. The whole assembly of Israel participated in this destroying what pertained to sin because they were all responsible for covenant holiness. we today have the charge of keeping that covenant holiness, our covenant with God, but also helping to keep the church pure and holy before Him. In a play on Achan's name, which means trouble or troublesome, the place where they gathered was called the Valley of Achor, meaning trouble. In the Valley of Trouble, a troublemaker and all the trouble he had caused was put out of the camp of Israel, according to God's instruction. We see then that one man's sin can bring disaster upon many. These are the fruits of disobedience. And so to avoid spiritual trouble ourselves, we need to devote our eyes to God. Devote our mind to Him. Devote our will to serve Him and Him alone. And devote our hand to do His will, to carry it out. Indeed, we are to devote all of our being to God. And the good news for us is that we can prepare ourselves for the Lord's return so that judgment will not be one of fearful condemnation as Achan stood there awaiting, but rather a joyful salvation when our Lord returns and calls us into judgment. It will be a day of joyful salvation for believers because Jesus will bring salvation to those who believe Him, Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. He'll bring salvation to those who have turned away from sin in repentance, Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. He's going to bring salvation to those who have confessed Him before men, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And He's going to bring salvation to those who have been baptized, immersed in His name for the forgiveness of sins, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And those who have holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 18. You see, there are many lessons we can learn about sin from those who have committed sin. God gives us these examples so that we can learn how to avoid sin. For when we know the process that is followed, we'll be more keen and more aware to how sin works and how sin tries to trick and to trap us. We'll also be able to watch out for sin in others, so that we can help them avoid sin. But inevitably, we as humans do not always do what we know we should. We often fail God, and so He has told us what we must do to handle sin, repenting of it, seeking forgiveness through Him and His means. So if you are tangled in sin, take the advice of Joshua chapter 7, address it, and deal with it immediately. If you know someone who is trapped in sin, go to them, address it, and deal with it immediately. Tonight, you need to understand that all things that have been devoted to God belong to Him. And He's calling you to turn over your will to His will. He's calling you to devote yourself wholly and completely to Him and to His cause. You can do that this evening by putting Christ on in baptism. If you have at one time devoted yourself in such a way through baptism, then there may be a need for you to confess sin and to seek forgiveness before it takes more hold in your life. It may be that you're concerned about a friend who's trapped in sin and needs to be restored, needs to be gained back, won back to the cause of Christ. The opportunity of the invitation is that it is open and available for any need, for any reason. Jesus simply invited, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Whatever wearies you, whatever concerns you, bring it to Christ as together we stand and as we sing.